Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, Suicide of a Superpower: Will America Survive to 2024? Is a 2011 political nonfiction book by Patrick J. Buchanan, a longtime conservative commentator, former presidential advisor, and prominent critic of globalism, interventionism, and mass immigration. The book argues that the United States is entering a period of national decline driven not only by economic weakness or foreign policy mistakes, but by deeper fractures in demography, culture, religion, and political identity. Buchanan writes from a paleoconservative and nationalist perspective, presenting America as a nation whose historic cohesion has been weakened by multiculturalism, deindustrialization, secularization, and open border policies. Its purpose is warning rather than policy manual. It gathers demographic trends, historical comparisons, and political commentary to argue that the American superpower may lose the social foundations that made it viable. The book is controversial because it treats national identity, race, immigration, and cultural change as central political questions, often in language critics regard as exclusionary. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, demographic change as the central warning about national continuity. A core argument of the book is that demographic transformation is not merely a statistical trend, but a political and cultural turning point. Buchanan emphasizes the projected decline of the white majority, the growth of Hispanic and other minority populations, and the aging or reduced fertility of populations he associates with the historic West. His concern is not only numerical replacement, but the possibility that a country without a shared ancestry, language, religion, or civic memory will struggle to maintain common loyalty. And this framing distinguishes the book from economic decline narratives that focus mainly on debt, productivity, or military costs. For Buchanan, demography shapes the future electorate, school systems, cultural norms, and the emotional meaning of nationhood. The argument is highly contested because it links national cohesion to ethnocultural continuity, a premise many critics reject as incompatible with civic nationalism and pluralist democracy. Still, the book is important within conservative nationalist literature because it places population change at the center of debates over sovereignty, immigration, and the survival of a recognizable American identity. Secondly, cultural fragmentation and the loss of a shared American story. Buchanan argues that the United States is no longer held together by a broadly accepted national narrative. He presents earlier America as more unified by common language, Christian moral assumptions, patriotic education, and inherited civic symbols. In his analysis, these bonds have weakened under the pressure of multiculturalism, identity politics, secularization, and ideological polarization. The book treats cultural division as more dangerous than ordinary partisan disagreement because it affects what citizens believe the country is and whether they regard one another as part of the same people. Buchanan repeatedly contrasts a nation with a coherent historical memory against a society divided into competing communities with separate grievances and loyalties. This is one reason he uses comparisons to multinational states and empires that fragmented when shared legitimacy collapsed. The argument is forceful but selective, since it tends to understate older conflicts in American history and gives limited weight to the possibility that pluralism can generate new forms of cohesion. Its value lies in making cultural legitimacy a central issue in assessing national power. Thirdly, globalization, free trade, and open borders as threats to sovereignty, the book connects cultural decline to economic and political choices made by American elites. Buchanan criticizes free trade, global supply chains, and liberal immigration policy as parts of a broader globalist project that weakens the nation-state. He argues that deindustrialization has damaged communities, reduced economic independence, and transferred productive capacity abroad. At the same time, he sees open border ideology as eroding the ability of a democratic people to decide who belongs to the political community. In this framework, sovereignty is practical rather than symbolic. A nation that cannot protect its industries, regulate immigration, or prioritize its own workers has surrendered essential powers. Buchanan also treats economic policy as culturally consequential because factories, towns, unions, churches, and families are linked in his account of national stability. This differs from mainstream pro-market conservatism, which often treats trade liberalization as an economic good. Buchanan instead revives an older protectionist tradition, arguing that national self-sufficiency and social cohesion may be more important than lower consumer prices or global efficiency. Fourthly, imperial overreach and the weakening of the republic at home. Although the book is best known for its arguments about demography and culture, it also fits into Buchanan's long-standing criticism of American interventionism. He argues that the United States has behaved less like a limited republic and more like an overextended empire, assuming military and financial burdens that drain attention from domestic renewal. This theme links Suicide of a Superpower to his earlier work opposing nation-building and expansive foreign commitments. The logic is that a country already divided at home should not attempt to remake other societies abroad, especially when its industrial base, borders, and civic unity are under strain. Buchanan sees foreign policy hubris as part of the same elite failure that produced free trade and permissive immigration leaders pursue universal missions while neglecting national preservation. This position makes the book distinct from neoconservative accounts of American strength, which often view global leadership as essential to national purpose. Buchanan reverses that assumption, warning that imperial ambition can accelerate decline when it separates ruling institutions from the interests and limits of the nation. Lastly, a polemical method that combines documentation with ideological controversy. Suicide of a Superpower is written as a heavily documented polemic rather than as detached academic scholarship. Buchanan uses demographic projections, historical analogy, political commentary, and moral argument to build a cumulative warning. Supporters see this as a strength because the book confronts subjects often avoided in mainstream politics, especially immigration, racial identity, religious decline, and the social costs of global capitalism. Critics argue that its selection and framing of evidence encourage a racially charged view of national decline and give too little attention to assimilation, civic institutions, constitutional ideals, or the benefits of immigration. The controversy surrounding the book, including public accusations that its arguments promoted exclusionary or white nationalist ideas, became part of its reception and shaped its place in political debate. Analytically, the book is most useful when read as a statement of paleoconservative diagnosis rather than a neutral forecast. Its importance comes from exposing the assumptions of a particular nationalist worldview that culture precedes politics, borders define democracy, and demographic change can transform the meaning of a country. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers studying American conservatism, nationalism, immigration politics, culture war debates, and critiques of globalization. It will be especially useful to those who want to understand the paleoconservative tradition that differs from libertarian economics, neoconservative foreign policy, and establishment Republican optimism about markets and American global leadership. The practical benefit is not a step-by-step reform program, but a clear map of one influential argument about national decline that economic policy, border policy, cultural identity, and foreign policy cannot be separated. Readers can also benefit by examining how demographic data and historical analogy are used in political persuasion, including where such methods clarify real tensions and where they risk overstating inevitability, compared with similar books on American decline. Suicide of a Superpower stands out because it places demographic and cultural cohesion at the center rather than treating them as secondary to debt, military competition, or institutional dysfunction. It is also more openly nationalist and protectionist than many mainstream conservative works. The book should be read critically, given its controversial assumptions about identity and belonging, but it remains a significant text for understanding debates over sovereignty, multiculturalism, and the future of the American nation-state. If you would like to support Patrick J. Buchanan, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.